it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
About only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country. And there is no escaping it. No matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome to the Sunday night edition of Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your slightly congested and somewhat headachy host, Dave Schrader, along with me, my lovable and cuddly co-host and producer, Tim Dennis. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
I'm all crappy, man. I keep coughing my brains out. I was laughing in the chat room last night. People are talking. I said I was in there as headachy guy.
Aw, right? Yeah.
As we're talking, I said, you'll know when I'm in the middle of a massive coughing jag when suddenly Tim starts asking a bunch of questions because I'm cutting my throat and turning off my mic. He's got to take over for me. This is just the weirdest cold season ever.
Yeah.
You know what I suggest to people that don't want to have colds?
Don't go near people?
Well, that's a good start.
Yeah.
Don't have kids.
Oh, that's a good one too. Yeah.
I have five kids that I refer to as the bacteria factory.
Yep.
They come home. And the thing is, they go to like different schools. Right? Because okay. I got one in preschool, one in first grade, and then one in middle school. And then another one goes, you know, my other son lives with his mom, goes to another school. So I get four different school district kind of colds.
Ooh.
Right? And all different levels. So I've got some kind of like crazy amalgam disease growing inside me right now. Because I'm not stuffed up in the head.
Okay.
I can breathe.
All right.
I have no congestion in the chest.
Okay.
But I cough uncontrollably. And my arm keeps falling off.
Well, that's not good.
No,
probably want to get that arm looked at.
Could be that kid with leprosy hanging out with my three-year-old, do you think?
That could be. You might want to stop that as well. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a hard lesson learned.
It is.
Good Lord. We got a lot of cool stuff going on tonight. We are going to be talking to Stephen Eulish. Why do I keep calling him Stan? Stephen Eulish is going to be joining us. He became a professor at the age of 28. He's actually spent the major part of his life researching occult material, everything from Kabbalah to UFOs. And I want to talk to him about Kabbalah. Dude, I don't understand what Kabbalah is.
Yeah.
Other than something Madonna's into, which means it's, you know, you might need penicillin to get out of it.
A little bit.
So I want to know what Kabbalah is, and we're going to talk to him about that. But I like the two articles he wrote. And he's written others that I like as well, but these two just stuck out to me, and this is what we're going to talk to him about. The reality of ghosts, a possible biblical explanation, and extraterrestrials tremble at the name of Jesus.
Does that mean that Greys would tremble at the sight of Benny Hinn?
Very well.
I'm just
curious. Are healed.
You are healed.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we've got, like, that was my alien voice.
That was very nice.
Best I could
especially
do
with the cold. Night. That was good.
And, hey, guys, I also want to make a quick mention to you. Check out our live chat room. Did you know we have a live chat room?
What?
Yes, live.
Live?
And it's a chat room. It hence is a live chat room. So if you want to come on in and join us, go to darknessradio.com. Click on live chat. You can just click in, become a member of the fun there, and you'll be in there with other people that are like-minded individuals interested in the paranormal and talking and sharing their thoughts and ideals with you. So come on in, join in, have some fun with us. You can also ask questions by PMing Tim, Darkness Radio Tim in the room.
And I've always wanted to add to that promo, that little, promoting the little website thing. I've always wanted to add direct quotes from the chat room at the time we're talking about them.
Yes.
Because you can hear such bits of wisdom as, yes, I like my coffee like I like my men, blonde, sweet, and super hot.
Excellent.
Or yes. You can hear such wisdom as lung bacteria, put masks on. So there you go.
Yeah, see, that's deep. You could be talking with people just like that.
Everything is there in that chat room.
And if you miss any of our shows, we had a great show last night. We have great shows each week, don't get me wrong. But if you miss any of our shows, you can certainly go check them out by going to ktlkfm.com. And there you're going to find information on all of our old shows from yesterday all the way back to August 24th. And then if you want any of our shows that go back further, go to darknessradio.com and you can join us there. I do want to make a couple quick mentions. We've got something cool coming out next week, Tim.
Oh, yes.
Did you know that a zombie attack brings chaos to Harvardville Airport?
I kind of figured as much.
Leon S. Kennedy and Claire Redfield, who fought the sinister Umbrella Corporation during the Raccoon City tragedy 7 years ago, are back in high-octane Resident Evil style. They're ready to battle a rogue warrior who is seeking revenge after his family was killed in Raccoon City. The deadly G-virus is unleashed, and a new mutated monster goes on the rampage. Will Claire and Leon be able to terminate the virus before history repeats itself? The new movie Resident Evil Degeneration, an original CG motion picture, comes out next week, and we're going to be giving away copies of the DVD. It's a direct-to-DVD CG movie.
I only have one question.
What's that?
Does the G-virus make you wear hoodies and Tims and listen to 50 Cent?
Yes, you turn into P. Diddy.
Oh, very
That would be the P. Diddy virus, though, wouldn't
it? The P. Diddy, yes. Yeah. The G-virus would be the G-Unit virus. Yeah. Of course, you'd go around wearing G-Unit clothing.
I think my brother said today that P. Diddy is trying to get the role of James Bond next.
Yeah.
I don't see that.
I don't either. Yeah.
Cavassier shaking not stirred.
Because you can't.
Is that wrong?
No. Because you can't have James Bond going around going, take that.
That just wouldn't work.
Yeah,
is it?
No.
All right. Well, let's get to it. We've got on the line with us, Tim. We're going to go all the way out to Seattle, Washington.
Oh, yes.
Yes, because it's time for book reviews.
It's time to welcome our book critic and cunning linguist of culture, refinement, and stories that will make your skin crawl. Live from the tower, we keep her locked in, Susan Cumming.
Good evening, Susan. How are you?
I'm good, and I never get sick of hearing my intro. I love it.
Yes, your intro is good, isn't it? Tim put a lot of hard work into that.
Well, a couple minutes.
Yeah, well, that's true. All right. So what book are we looking at this week?
Oh, well, first of all, I've missed you guys. We're looking at The Key by Whitley Strieber.
Oh, yeah, Whitley Strieber of Dreamland, yeah.
Yes, fabulous. And, of course, we're going to start off no demonic clowns in this one.
Excellent.
Oh.
Although Tim's not offended by demonic clowns.
They're kind of cute.
Yeah.
I know you'd be sad. Anyway, but I don't know if you guys know who he is or people out there know who he is, but he was the author of one of my favorite books called Communion, and it also turned into that pretty famous movie with Christopher Walken, and of course, you know, where all the brutal and sad anal probe jokes came from.
Sad anal probe jokes?
There's no such thing.
That's right. They're all fun.
I said sad. Anyway, so let me tell you a little bit about this book. First of all, when I received this book, it was recommended by a really good friend of mine. And I get it, and I'm thinking this is going to be an easy read because it was only like 100-plus pages. And I've had some doozies, as you know, some long books I've had to read. And I thought, well, I'll just sort of fit this in throughout my week, and I should be able to finish it pretty quickly. And it was not the case. It is the type of book to where I would read a few pages of it, and I would stop, and I would have to think about what I read. And then I'd go back, and I'd read some of it again, and I'd take notes. And it's taken me a while to get through this book. So to say that it had a profound effect on me is very, very true. For a lot of people, I think it's going to be hard for them to wrap their heads around it. And I'll tell you why in a minute. I'll get into the book. But for me, it just had an effect on me, and I'm still thinking about the book. So that being said, let me tell you a little bit about it. Whitley is on tour, I think a book tour. He's up in Canada, and there's a knock at the door, and it happens to be 3 o'clock in the morning, which we all know is the witching hour, and for some shows it's dead time. So I thought that was pretty unusual that it happened at 3 in the morning.
A lot of people think dead time is 9 to midnight every Saturday and Sunday on 100.3 K-Talk.
Very true.
But I digress. All right, so at 3 o'clock in the morning, he gets a knock on the door.
3 o'clock in the morning, knock at the door, and this strange little man comes in, and they call him the Master of the Key. And he says, or he starts by saying, "I come in the name of good. May I have some time?" So thank God he said yes, and they begin to have this conversation. So this is a transcript. Whitley wrote down the answers. He asked the questions. It's a transcript between him and this man, or you could call him a man. Some of the book suggests that he may not be a man. Very, very cryptic. But
wait, it's a man that couldn't be a man? So we're either talking about Prince or Michael Jackson.
funny. He does say you can call me Michael.
Really?
But I don't think it's Michael Jackson. But, you know, he even says there's no greater compliment than to be called human. So
really?
Who knows? I mean, there's suggestions there, but I'm going to leave it up to the reader because I can't tell you. But this information that goes back and forth is so profound. It changes the way you look at life. It talks about religion. It talks about the dead being among us and that we're at an age to where we can start to communicate with them and that there are instruments out there now that will allow us to communicate with them. And they mention, like EVP equipment, et cetera. So that's fascinating. But then it talks about our future and how we're chained to the planet and how that we're basically doomed because of some of the things that we've done. I want to read to you a little bit about just one thing that sort of stuck with me, and it's about the Holocaust. And this little man, or the master of the key, said that because of some of the things we've done in the age, or the, I think he said new age, or its age, which is about 2,000 years, have doomed us in some ways. So he says, why has the Holocaust prevented us from leaving the planet? The Holocaust reduced the intelligence of the human species by killing too many of its most intellectually competent members. It is why you are still using jets 75 years after their invention. The understanding of gravity is denied you because of the absence of a child of a murdered Jewish couple. This child would have unlocked the secret of gravity, but he was not born. Because his parents went, the whole species must stay.
Wow.
So it's pretty powerful. And you look at where we're going, completely different. I'm going to go back and read it again. And I think for a lot of people, it's going to resonate with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to change the way that they view everything.
Wow.
It's almost a spiritual journey. It's supposed to be nonfiction. I'm hoping it is. It's almost like reading a spiritual transcript.
Very cool. And the name of the book again is what?
Well, it's The Key, and it's by Whitley Strieber, and it's really hard to find. On Amazon, they have it anywhere from $30 to $90.
Holy Christmas, okay.
Because it was written back in, I think, 2001. All of this happened back in 1998. But, our good friend Chris Fleming, he actually got his hand on some of them. And let's see, what's his website? I think it's Unknown Magazine.
Yeah, unknownmag.com. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's under the magazine section. You can shop there. I know he has some of the books. Definitely worth it for those folks out there that want something that's going to transform them. Great read. Not as quick to get through as I thought it was going to be, and I'm still going to go back and reread some of the parts again. So.
Well, very good. Well, you're going to have to loan it to me. Now I'm intrigued. I got to read this book.
Oh, you know what? Get it. You want to give it to your friends. I'm going to order some myself because I really think it will leave a profound effect on a lot of people.
Excellent. Well, Susan, thank you very much. What would you say for book value? Would you give this out of one out of, what do we give, 5 stars? How many would you give?
Personally, for me, and mm-hmm. again, it's a personal journey for whoever reads this, it's going to be a 5 out of 5 star for me, or 5 out of 5 ghosts. It's going to be different for everybody. It's going to mean something different for everybody, but it will leave everybody questioning their existence.
Wow. I already do that on a daily basis, Susan.
I do it on a daily basis, and now I do it even more.
All right.
Do it even more now.
Well, thank you very much, dear. Have a very Merry Christmas. Thank you for being a lovely part of our show and for being one of my best friends. I appreciate it.
Oh, and I love you guys, and Merry Christmas to everybody and to all my paranormal peeps. Hey, I love you all.
Hey, ho.
Hey, ho.
Hey. What's up, girl? Hi.
All right, well, we're off to do a quick commercial break. We'll be back with more of the Best of Paranormal, and we'll be back with national news correspondent Bree Sanders with the strange news from around the United States right after this. Good evening. Welcome back to Darkness Radio. Your home for Paranormal Talk Radio every Saturday and Sunday night, 9 to midnight. Want to thank you all for tuning in, and please have a safe, happy holiday season this week. Be careful. Drive safely. The weather is going to be crappy in a lot of the states, so please, if you're going where you're going, set out a little early so that way you've got enough time to get there. It's time, Tim, to do a little international news. Or, I'm sorry, no, not international.
Oh, no, no.
No, that was last night.
Yeah.
I'm time traveling again.
That's
right,
okay.
Here in my seat. We're going to go to national news with Bree Sanders.
Now it's time for all the news that's in the news from the world of the paranormal with the supernatural stories of the strange, national news correspondent and mistress of misery, Bree Sanders.
Good evening, Bree. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm fighting a cold too, Dave.
We're all passing the singer on. It's horrible.
I know.
You know what I think it was is you, Tim, and I were making out together on the Queen Mary because he's been sick and now you and I haven't.
Yeah, that's been fun.
We'll just pass that rumor around. We might as well start up a new one. It's always good to have rumors flying about.
Yeah, I think I've heard that one before, actually.
I need more rumors about me. So if you guys
started one. I said the three of us were making out.
That's great. I love it.
Have you heard about Tim's illicit affair with Miss Piggy?
Well, you know.
Adrian talked about it last night, how they found a pig dressed in T-shirt and jeans dead in the middle of the woods somewhere, and Tim took ownership of that.
I love me some perk.
So where are we off to tonight, Bree?
Oh, man. Okay, we're going to start with, I have several food stories tonight.
Excellent.
First one, I know. The first one, Burger King launched a new fragrance this week.
Yes.
Have you heard about this?
I have.
Okay, it's a body spray called Flame. You can buy it. I'm not sure where you can get it. All I know is you can get it at Ricky's stores in New York. I'm not sure what those are. But you can also go online and get it at firemeetsdesire.com. And we might put that link up on the Darkness page, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's being put up right now because I think everybody should smell like meat.
Oh, you've got to go see this website, too. It's so strange. A man who works at one of these Ricky's stores explains, you know, that he thought the same thing, like it would smell like French fries and burgers and whatever. But he said that it actually kind of smells like a combination of Axe body spray and Tag. I don't know what the difference with those two is, but I can't imagine. I mean, it's got to have some kind of undertone of burger. I don't know.
So Burger King's getting it. Well, doesn't it make you, it begs a question then, Tim, if they're doing colognes for men, right? How long is it till they get into erectile dysfunction creams?
Oh, wow.
You could own the new Whopper cream. That's all I'm thinking.
Hey, there you go.
What do you think? You know,
I like the
ladies. It's a topical cream. Boom.
Excuse me, baby. I got to reach for my Whopper.
That's right. I think that can't be too far off.
Yeah.
McDonald's will not like that, though, you know.
Well, there's the Big Mac.
Well, have you heard the new, what is it, Nugget? The chicken nugget commercials that they're doing right now.
Yeah.
Are you what is it, the nugget nut or something like that? It's just bizarre. I don't want to think of nugget nuts or meat cologne.
There's
it's
already too
strange.
Many parts in a chicken McNugget. You don't want to think of what else they might throw in there.
Oh, man.
Now, the cologne is available for sale right now, so it makes the perfect stocking stuffer.
It's $3.99.
You seen, on Leno, he had a pretty good joke about that this week. He goes, did you hear Burger King's come out with a new cologne? And the bottle, he lifts up a bottle, and it's in the shape of a fat butt, and it's called Obesity by Burger King. I thought that was pretty good.
One guy actually made a joke. The packaging is actually a silver bottle with a heart, like a flaming heart on the front, and he said, the package even says heartburn.
Well, Mike Gibson, one of our web guys, has just alerted me to the fact that all those links are up on the site. If you go to darknessradio.com and click on the news desk over by Bree, you will see the information on all the stories that she's covering that she'll mention tonight has links. So there you go.
Yeah, definitely. Right. And go to this link because if you click on the spray bottle, you'll get a good laugh, basically.
All right. Where are we off to next?
We're going to Texas. A school bus driver in Texas has been accused of brandishing a knife and threatening to cut 3 sixth graders who left Oreo crumbs on a seat in the bus.
Oh, I know how he feels.
Police confiscated it was a pocket knife from a 66-year-old man in Mansfield, Texas on Friday. He was charged with aggravated assault, obviously. Two students told their parents that he removed them from the bus and threatened to cut their wrists if they didn't admit to spilling the crumbs on the bus.
Wow.
So, yeah, crazy.
That's, Well, you know, sometimes kids, they need harsh love. And my God, he's pulling a knife on him. Is that your Oreo cookies, yeah, boy?
Yeah, I mean, that's got to just be a moment. Well, I don't know. He's got to be insane. I mean, like, that's the worst thing that's happened on the bus if somebody leaves Oreo crumbs.
Hey, you don't know till you're trying to clean that stuff up.
Man.
All right, where
Listen
are we?
Listen to this one, actually.
Okay.
This one's in Florida. Shocker. Plant City, Florida.
Shocker.
Men.
You can direct all emails for hate mail for Floridians to Bree@darknessradio.com. Yes, go on now, Bree.
Right. Okay, two men in Plant City, Florida are being charged with armed robbery and aggravated assault.
Okay.
The sheriff's office said the two men came into the victim's home at 3 in the morning, One had a knife and the other had a pistol, and one actually held the victim at
And one was named Colonel Mustard and the other one was Professor Plum. What the hell?
Well, listen to this.
Okay.
All they wanted, they held the victim with a knife to her throat and actually demanded a metal egg beater, which they that's all they wanted. They took it. When the police caught him, they found it in one of the guy's back pockets.
That was it?
I just, how weird is that?
Yes.
An egg beater.
Until we find out that that was what had the missing code from the Da Vinci deal and unleashed the entire Holy Grail right there was all engraved on the side of an egg beater, Tim. What do you think? Oh. Crazier things have been said?
Possibly.
Possibly. All right.
All right.
But now the question is, do you think they'll beat the rap?
Oh. Oh, God.
Come on. They're going to beat the rap. See, it was an egg beater. Oh, God. All right. Go on.
Does that have to do with the Whopper?
No. Anyway, where are we off to next?
Oh, one more quick food story.
Uh-huh.
All right. You may have read about this. There's a three-year-old named Adolf Hitler Campbell, who his father's fuming mad because...
Yeah, he's friends with Berto Mussolini Johnson, I think.
Well, his dad tried to order a birthday cake for him this week with his full name on it, and the supermarket wouldn't do it. And actually, it's called ShopRite. It's a supermarket in New Jersey. A woman that works there said that the couple had similar requests denied at the same store over the last 2 years and said that he even actually asked for a swastika to be included in the decoration for a cake.
Wow.
And they, I mean, they're crazy. They have two other children who also have unusual names. One is Jocelyn Aryan Nation Campbell, who mm-hmm. turns two mm-hmm. in a few months.
I'm sensing a thread here, a theme. I guess all those people that laugh at me now, I guess the name Linus David Schrader doesn't sound so stupid after all, does it?
Well, actually, no,
shut up.
I'm kidding.
Oh, that's nice. Uncle Chick is being mean to you, Linus. So, yeah, wait, so they have Adolf
Jocelyn?
Hitler and Jocelyn Aryan Nation.
Correct.
And yes. What's her other kid's name?
The other one is Hanselin Himmler.
Himmler. Excellent.
Yeah.
That's great.
So, and yeah, I mean, he goes on to defend, you know, saying they're not racist.
No. But their dog's name is I Hate Jews Johnson. So, I mean, that, you know, you can take it yeah. or leave it.
Right.
That's
right.
Insane.
It's insane.
I mean,
don't know. Just imagine looking at your little baby that was just born and thinking, you know,
oh,
I'll name it Adolf Hitler.
You are my little Adolf.
Anything. My little Adolf.
I wonder if the hand came out first. What do you think?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
That's horrible.
That's how they
pull
them
out. We have to take a break. You're listening to the best of paranormal talk radio with our national news correspondent, Bree Sanders. We'll be talking more about strange news from around the United States right after this. Hey, everybody. Good evening and welcome back to Darkness Radio.
Not
How's
bad.
That? You like that, Tim?
That's right!
That's my 1970s disco radio host, Dale. You know what? Every time I hear the song, I just remember being at Fireside Roller Rink in Schaumburg, Illinois, which at the time was the world's largest roller rink.
Cheapskate in Coon Rapids
That's
for
right.
me.
I used to skate to this bad boy. Yeah. Can you see it, Bree? Can you picture me in my
That's
butterfly collar, my bell-bottom
visual.
Jeans, and my high-top sneaker roller skates? Because I was styling. Another one bites the dust, yo. Very good. We're back with Bree Sanders, national news correspondent, with the weird news from around the United States. Where are we off to next, Bree?
I wanted to mention this.
All right, go ahead.
Crazy. The actor who played Jesus in the Passion of the Christ movie was struck by lightning during the filming.
Yeah, Jim Caviezel.
Jim Caviezel. But listen to this. He and actually the assistant director in the movie, Jan, I think it's Michelini, they were both struck by lightning twice during the filming of the movie. And obviously, they both survived, but, you know, some people, because the movie is so controversial, like, some people are saying maybe, you know, someone up.
You may not want to do a movie about Jesus Christ if you're going to be struck twice by lightning.
How weird, though.
That is strange. Struck twice.
Twice. And I know that once you're struck by lightning, I guess it's bound to happen again. Some people say that. But
I worked with a guy named Paul Applegate. And Paul, if you're listening, call in sometime. Paul Applegate, I think he was struck like, oh, no, it wasn't Paul. It was Lyle.
Love it.
No, Lyle, but Paul used to tell me about the story. Lyle at our work, when I used to work for Asset Marketing, excuse me, he He was struck, I think, like four times by lightning.
It's nicknamed the lightning rod.
Yes.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was like four times. Insane.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I don't know what it is exactly that makes it happen repeatedly after it happens once, but that's crazy.
Maybe you kind of hold that static charge as part of your being.
I guess.
And then it just, you know, because they tell you too now, you know, you're not supposed to have your cell phone on or even on your person during an electrical storm.
Really?
Because it can draw a lightning strike to you.
You know what? I believe it. I have an iPhone, and if I'm watching TV or sitting in front of my computer, my phone rings or I get a text, my TV or my computer freaks out, makes a noise. So, right. So do my recorders when we're on investigation. So,
Tim, don't be alarmed, but her toaster talks to her, too. So she's crazy. Where are we off to next, Bree?
We are going to Michigan.
Okay.
There is a legend in Michigan about the Dog Man, and it was brought up this week. An author, actually, Linda Godfrey, wrote this book. Her latest book is called Strange Michigan, More Wolverine Weirdness. And she talks about this Dog Man, and people continue to report this all the time.
It's right. Is this the Beast of Bray Road?
No, that's in Wisconsin.
Yeah, but isn't that Linda Godfrey, too, that does that book?
Yeah,
okay. Okay, I'm sorry, go on.
She's done several, I think. And basically, this Dog Man, he's described as like a man-sized, two-legged, you know, upright-walking dog. And Linda Godfrey says she's never actually seen Dog Man, but she receives reports all the time from, you know, all over the place, people saying where they've seen it. And there are certain areas, you know, obviously where the reports are more abundant, like, well, I guess...
Near a bar? Would you say? I came out of the bar and I saw a giant dog man, and it was huge.
He was peeing on my hubcap.
Oh, man.
Do you think that's where they see him mostly?
I have no idea.
Yes.
But actually, there's a link on the website. If people want to go, there's a little YouTube video on there. It kind of gives you a glimpse of, you know, some shots. I think people... There's one actual little piece of video footage that I guess the person's claiming it's the Dog Man. It kind of looks like a gorilla. But it's interesting. It's kind of a fun little video.
You are such a bigot. All cryptids look the same to her.
They all look like the great grape ape.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Great ape.
Well,
Funny. Yeah, they do. Listeners, she's so matter of fact. All right. Where are we off to next?
We are going to a shipwreck. In Lake Ontario, it's in Rochester, New York, a shipwreck was discovered this last week, I think.
You know what, what song I'm going to need to hear coming back out of the next commercial, don't you?
Which one's this?
And the Great Lake they call Gitche-Gumbee.
Oh, wait, okay.
Yeah, we need the hell is that cat's name?
Gordon Lightfoot.
Yeah, little Gordon Lightfoot, the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. All right, go on. So we're going to go to the site of a crash now. Is this an old shipwreck?
It's old, yeah, very old.
Okay.
It was just discovered in Lake Ontario.
And the Great Lakes, it said, never gives up a dead. That's all I remember, because it was the spookiest part of the song to me.
Oh, man.
All right, so
anyway.
they found this again, or what?
Yes, they found the shipwreck. These two guys, Jim Kennard and Dan Scoville, they found a 55-foot-long, it's called a daggerboard ship, And it was this fall they found it. They used, you know, like sonar equipment. The ship is the only daggerboard known to have been found in any of the Great Lakes. And these were used for a short time in the early 1800s, so that's how old it would have to be. It's a wood panel boat that could be extended to improve the ship's stability. I don't really understand what that means, but... It was useful in basically unloading cargo that weren't accessible to bigger ships.
But, can you hear the music? We got a little bit of music going underneath you now, a little bit of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald to sell the story. Remember, come early.
Nice.
Yeah, very good, huh? All right, so they found this, and what's crazy about it?
Well, it's just they don't know, you know, where it's from. Obviously, it's old, but it was found sitting upright. And it's in really great shape. It's 500 feet below the surface of the water. And they
just found it now? That's not that deep.
They just found it. I don't know. That's pretty deep. 500 feet? Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. I love how she, not at all. Well, okay, it might be.
I don't go
way to stick. Way to stick anyway. To your guns, Bree. You're completely wrong, or you're right. Either way, it's one of those two.
No, I don't know. It seems deep.
So the ship looks, but they say it's in good shape, and it's still down there. And
still down there.
George Clooney came floating out of it. Oh, that's a wrong movie, isn't it?
Mark Wahlberg was there too.
Marky Wahlberg. Yeah.
These guys are interesting, though. Actually, in May of this past year, these same two guys also discovered a British warship, HMS Ontario. That's the name of it. HMS Ontario was lost in 1780. It's the oldest shipwreck ever found in the Great Lakes.
Wow.
So, yeah, kind of cool. You can go also, once again, to the Darkness website and click on a link. There's a link where you can kind of go and read about it and see some pictures. It's pretty interesting.
Very cool.
So, yeah. Right.
Where are we off to next? How are these guys? Did it say how they're getting so lucky to find these ships?
It must just be all they do. I'm not sure.
Really?
It doesn't.
What do you put on your resume? Yeah, times are a little tough right now. I'm looking for a job at Burger King. It says here your job was looking for sunken vessels. Excellent. Okay.
I can find French fries at the end of the vat.
That's right.
At the bottom. So
right there. And
I'm good.
How do you feel about our new cologne? No. So that's really what they do, is they just hunt for ships. Did they find gold or cool stuff inside of them, or is it?
Not this one. I know that this one looks like it's actually stripped. Everything inside was taken out. They said it looked like they were going to.
That ship rolled up in the wrong part of town.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Was it up on some concrete blocks? Oh, man. They took my oars.
Some guy's front yard.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. All right, where do we go next?
Actually, we have some sad news. Majel Roddenberry, who's known as the First Lady of Star Trek, died on December 18th. She was the widow of Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry, who also, I think he died in 1991.
Tim and I, we met her at the Star Trek convention here in Minnesota.
Ooh. No, not me.
Geek check. Yeah, nice way to back out. I met her. I got her autograph.
Oh,
I'm like, you're Majel Barry. She did the voice of the computer, too, I think, for all the Star Trek shows, right?
It's a good thing there's glass between us.
Yeah.
She reprised the voice in the upcoming Star Trek film.
Oh, really? Oh, very cool. So the new prequel, she's still doing the voice of the computer for that, huh?
Yep.
Oh. So, well, that's sad.
Yeah,
wow.
It's sad.
At least she and Gene are back together now. That's good.
True. So, anyway.
All right. One more quick story before we go to break.
Okay. This was crazy to me. I read an article this week about a doctor finding a foot in a newborn child's brain. Doctors discovered a small foot growing inside the brain of a three-day-old child in Colorado. And they saw, you know, a scan. They thought the child had a tumor or something, so it was life-threatening. They went in to operate, and they found not only a foot, but another developing foot, a hand, and a thigh.
I've heard about this, where the twin actually absorbs its twin into it.
Well, that happens all the time.
Yeah, that's weird. Wasn't that in the movie The Dark Half? Remember that? The Stephen King book, and it was made into a movie with Timothy Hutton.
Mm-hmm.
And then they cut open his head, and like the brain opens, and there's an eye staring out at you. Yeah, that's creepy.
It's creepy. But they've never seen this before. Anything that's developed or anything, especially in that area of the body. They'll find them, like, in the abdomen a lot.
Right.
But in the brain of a three-day-old.
So they found feet and hands?
They found a fully developed foot.
Wow.
Another developing foot, a hand and a thigh.
Hmm. Well, at least, you know, when that kid grows up to say his mind just doesn't stop running, he'll actually mean it. No? Really? He can use that old pickup line, Tim. What do you think? Your feet must be tied because they've been running through my mind all day long.
Literally, someone get a doctor and get them out.
Exactly.
That's sad.
Oh, that is freaky. Yeah.
It's okay. He survived. So.
Well, that's strange. Yeah. All right. But he's fine now. Are they going to be able to get the feet out of there?
They took it out.
Oh, they did. Okay. They got rid of the.
They said it could grow back, though.
It could grow.
They said it could actually grow back.
What? Another foot?
Well, another tumor that could contain something like that.
Another tumor that can contain something like that. Maybe that's the whole thing, Tim. We don't need stem cell
tumors
research.
Tumors are feet?
Yeah, we don't need stem cell research. We're just growing body parts on brains.
Well, there you go.
That's weird. We got to take a break real quick. We'll be back with more Paranormal Talk Radio and national news correspondent Bree Sanders with the weird news from around the United States.
All right, you got it. Now you got to sing along to it. Ready? Here you go.
The legend lives on.
From I don't know the words. I just.
All you got to do is
there's a great, great, they call Getchagumi.
There you go.
That's all I know is the Getchagumi part and the whole thing about
the lake it is
it's never like, gives up her dead. That's all I know.
It's kind of like singing along to Guns N' Roses. You don't really need to know the words.
We just got
to
get into the...
See,
I remember loving this song. It was this song and Riders on the Storm by Doors.
Uh-huh.
Just used to freak the hell out of me as a kid because there was just weird lyrics in it that spooked me. But I love these songs. Gets to me.
Maybe listen, Bree knows the words. Bree, sing along.
I have no clue.
No clue. You got to remember, Bree's like 18.
That's true. Yeah. We you like know? Them young and hot.
That's right. If it's anything past Hanson, she's a little confused.
Ooh. Maybe Hanson did a version of this. I'll look that up.
Mm-bop. All right. All right, Bree. Hey, we got some sad news here, Tim.
Uh-oh.
Bree Sanders, our lovely national news correspondent, is leaving us after tonight.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She'll be gone for the next 2 weeks, and then she'll be back.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
But we've got international news correspondent Adrian Lee stepping in to do double the work while he's in town. Since he's in the United States, he feels he should get his feet wet a little bit and understand more about our crazy American ways. So he's going to start doing both international and national news on Saturday and Sunday nights with us for the next 2 weeks.
He's moving in on your territory there, Bree. You need to mount up.
I know.
No, Bree said,
awesome.
She said, I'm out of here. I've had enough of your shenanigans. I need a 2 week break before I have to put up with your crud again.
Right, guess where I'm going, guys?
You are going to Florida.
I am. I'm going to Florida.
See, you love Florida. She's always picking on it, Tim.
She's going down there to pick a fight.
It's that kind of playmate territory deal where the little girls beat you up on the playground because they actually like you. She just picks on Florida because she's crushing on the state.
Aw.
Where are we off to next, Bree?
The bubble of Palm Beach.
Yeah, well, the bubble of Palm Beach.
The bubble. Anyway, all right. there is an article I thought was really interesting. It's actually about transplant surgery, and it talks about where the seat of consciousness is, if it's in the brain or outside of the body, basically. They collect evidence, you know, trying to study this.
It depends, too. If you're at a bar, I can tell you your consciousness slowly slips to another region. Hey, look at her.
Right.
That's where my brain usually ends up. All right, go on.
All right.
I threw her off her mojo.
Yeah.
All right. Where were we now?
Okay. Basically, recent studies, they've observed that neural cells are not only found in the brain, but they're also found in the heart. And 65% of all heart cells are neural cells. They're saying consciousness could be seated within the heart or any other major organ. So, and like scientists have proposed this theory of cell memory in which memory and consciousness are stored in every cell in your body. And other people, obviously, to the contrary, insist that consciousness is external to the body and is basically resides in the electromagnetic field that's around every human being.
You know what I'd like? If we have any listeners out there who have had a transplant of any type from an unknown donor, be it I almost said rib. I bet rib transplants aren't real popular.
I love me some ribs.
I don't know.
Ribs.
What do you have? Like a kidney, a liver, a lung, I don't know. Even if it's not an unknown donor, if you've had a donation made to you for a body part, contact me if you've started having memories that are not your own. I just love to know if that actually happens.
Well, I have a couple examples right here.
Well, let's hear them. So, listen to this.
I do. Okay.
So I led her right into that? That's called a segue in the profession.
Pretty darn good.
Yeah, I'm a professional.
You're reading my mind.
I know.
Okay. The first example is a former professional dancer in 1988 received a heart and lung transplant after she had a pulmonary hypertension. After the operation, she developed a taste for beer, Snickers bars, green peppers, and fried chicken, which she liked none of those before her operation.
Mm-hmm.
She lost her attraction to men, and her daughter noticed that she developed a masculine demeanor and walk. She also began to have dreams of talking to a tall, thin man with sandy-colored hair named Tim, who she felt unexplainably close to. After investigation through the hospital administration, she discovered that the heart and lung donor was an 18-year-old man named Tim who had been killed in a motorcycle accident. And, you know, of course, she talked to his family, and they said that all those things that she started liking were things that he had loved, like chicken and Snickers and stuff like that.
Do we have this girl's name, her full name?
Claire Silby.
Can you email me all these names? Let's see if there's a way we can research these people and get them on the show. Seriously, I'd love to hear their stories. I know you're reading me like the brief synopsis. Yeah.
There's some more here. Let's see.
Okay, we got about a minute and a half left. Yeah, give me a couple more of the suggestions. Yeah.
I will. An 8-year-old girl received a heart from a 10-year-old girl who had been murdered. The transplant recipient began to experience vivid dreams about being murdered. The dreams were so vivid and her explanation so detailed that the police were able to arrest and convict the murderer purely upon her evidence. That's insane.
Really?
Yes.
So they were able to capture the killer, did you say, because of the memories this
because
girl...
of what she said, yeah.
Wow.
Two more quick ones.
All right, we've got about a minute left.
Okay. A guy named Sonny Graham, there's another full name, received a new heart also. He tracked down the donor's family, fell in love with the donor's widow, and married her. 12 years later, having shown no signs of unhappiness or depression, he shot himself without warning. His donor shot himself under the same circumstances.
Are they looking into the wife maybe being
That's
a killer?
That's what I was thinking, yeah. Huh. And then here's the really cool one. A 56-year-old college professor received a heart from a 36-year-old police officer. The officer was shot in the face during a robbery. After the transplant, the professor was plagued with dreams in which he saw the face of Jesus. Now, the guy who shot the cop was unshaven, like, you know, just scruffy looking.
Right.
So he started having dreams where he saw the face of Jesus followed by a bright flash of light and the intense burning sensation in his face. So, and he didn't know how the guy had died or anything. It's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, it sounds
so,
like it.
Yeah. So we could look up those people, see if we could find some more.
Yeah, that'd be great. And let's get in. If you have had an experience like that where you're a donor... or you're a donor recipient, I guess, and you've had strange experiences, let us know. Bree, you have a very safe, happy holiday and a happy new year. We love you.
Love you guys. Happy holidays to everybody.
All right. Take care, and we'll be back with Bree in 3 weeks. We have lovely Adrienne Lee. We'll be filling in for her doing national news over the next 2 weeks. Stay tuned, guys. We're going to be back more with Stephen Ulish, our next guest. And we're going to be talking about the reality of ghosts, a possible biblical explanation. We'll be back with more on the best of Paranormal Talk Radio, Darkness Radio, right here on 100.3 K-Talk.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Horseshoes, rabbit's feet, four-leaf clovers? Get real. You don't rely on Lucky Charms to get more profit potential, because you know that great yields thrive on science, not superstition. So protect your crop with Miravis Neo Fungicide, proven to outperform, outlast, and outyield all the rest. To see your best yields, trust Miravis Neo Fungicide, because you don't need luck. You need an edge. Ask your Syngenta retailer about Miravis Neo now. Always read and follow label instructions.